Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Hail Yes podcast. I am your host, Haley Gamba. How is everyone doing today? I must start off today's episode with a big apology. I lose my voice quite often. It's definitely my fault. I talk a lot. I talk for a living. I am constantly being invited places where I am required to scream, shout, not in a bad way, but in a positive way. I actually was at a football game yesterday and I was shouting and getting very excited and riled up because I was watching just the guys play so well and I was just having so much fun. So yeah, we woke up today with no voice and we're just gonna have to take it, guys. I'm so sorry. All of my friends say I sound very sexy, which I do appreciate, but I don't love it because to me, it feels strained. So for all of the people who DM me and say, Haley, please go to a doctor, get your voice box checked. I will do it just for you guys, I promise. Now, I wanted to do an episode about stress, anxiety, and a dysregulated nervous system. I find that I always wait until I am fully anxious and fully dysregulated to start getting back on track. And I do this because I tend to push myself to the limits quite often. I find that I have the resilience and the grit to do it. But at the end of the day, those things don't matter if you are dysregulated, if you are anxious, because you're just not going to do things properly. The other day, I kind of hopped on Instagram and I was letting you guys know that I had myself a solitude day. And I was explaining what that meant to me and how it helps me realign myself with all of the things that make me feel whole and make me feel happy. And I was explaining that my solitude day consists of no social media at all. And if there is, it has to be positive things that I'm consuming. I also have the lights in my house dimmed a specific way. I have candles burning. I try to find ways to do things with my hands, whether it's putting away clothes or cooking or brushing my dogs, like just getting myself to have some sort of activity that requires mental and physical stimulation. And I also love the idea of reading during these days and journaling, listening to positive music. There's so many things that you can do on a solitude day. And you guys really wanted me to elaborate further on a little bit about what I do to calm my nervous system down and what it really does for me, because I do find that it's very important. I have been trying to find better ways to assist myself through my anxious episodes. And I think a huge thing that I'm channeling and am really taking note of is allowing myself to feel these things and really just opening up my mind, my heart, my emotions to being okay with not being okay all the time. I think a huge reason why I would have such a hard time releasing was because whenever I would have an emotional day or I wouldn't be my best self, I could see the anxiousness in people around me, whether it's friends, family, or even just a stranger. And they're like, oh my God, what happened? Who hurt you? What's going on? And it would put me in such an emotionally heightened state because the truth is, nothing happened. And I hate when people try to equate my emotions to something happening, when in reality, I just needed to recenter. I just really needed a day to myself. And it's okay to not be okay and it be for no reason. Now, of course, I do believe that there are underlying reasons to why we get into these states, but it's not always super obvious at first. A lot of the times we are dysregulated due to overconsuming, due to working too much, due to having a lot on our plate, due to probably eating not so great throughout the week and possibly having our schedules be a little bit different each day and we're having a hard time getting the balance in order. There could be a lot of reasons why. Even just having your sleep disturbed or you haven't been able to concentrate, this can get you to be in a dysregulated state and have heightened emotions. And that's why I say, like, not every time when I'm going through something is it because of someone or something major. And I think we need to open up the space for people to be able to have these days, these emotions, and these feelings safely, to where they can just be present and be there for no apparent reason. But as long as we are addressing it, we are nurturing it, and we are understanding it, that's all we can really do. A little bit about my dysregulated nervous system and how I do believe that it happens to me is I will put a lot on my plate. I tend to be such a giver, and it's not in a way where I'm like handing people things or like doing things for people all the time. But my way of giving is by giving my time. I will spend time with my friends. I will answer my phone. I will write people back. I will try to find ways to get back to people who need me in that moment. And eventually it tends to add up, especially during chaotic times in the year. We are approaching holiday season and a lot of people have a lot going on. I have a friend who's getting married. I have another friend who's helping me do some things for my house. I have another friend who just became single. I have another friend who's away in college and needs my help and all of the different types of tips and tricks I can give her for how to survive her early 20s. I have a lot of people who require my time and energy. I tend to be someone who overgives naturally. I'm not doing it because I want some sort of praise, and I'm not doing it to take away from my own life. I genuinely do it out of the goodness of my heart because I enjoy it. But then what ends up happening is I become dysregulated during these chaotic times in the year. I find that I will wake up on some random day, whether it's like a Wednesday or a Thursday, and I'm like, what the heck have I done this week for myself? What have I really sat down and planned for my own life? And then I'll remember, oh my God, I went to this person's birthday dinner. I went to this person's engagement party. I went to this person's, you know, house. I went and spoke on the phone with this person for 4 hours the other day. Like, it all adds up. So when I decide to have a solitude day, I get very specific and I really have to look inward and practice that self-awareness and self-love that is all about re-pouring back into my own cup. So the first thing that I do on my solitude day is I acknowledge that I'm going to have it. Now, if I planned it that day, that usually doesn't happen, but sometimes I have to, because let's just say the night before I had a crash out, I'm like, okay, no, tomorrow needs to be a solitude day. That's just that. And usually it will fall on a weekend, whether it's like a Saturday or a Sunday. I will make sure I rest my body and rest my mind. All of the things that I'm worrying about, that I'm stressing about, that need to get done, I refuse to think about on my solitude day. This is going to help regulate your nervous system a lot quicker because you're not anxious, you're not stressed, you're not preoccupied with things that are going to disturb your inner peace. And this is required to get back to self. If you're someone who loves to be a determined person, you love being ambitious, and you like working, well, in order to get back to that life, you really need to do these particular steps to get back to center. So I remind myself when my body is literally fighting it, because it does. As someone who has perfectionistic qualities, and I'm so difficult on myself, I tend to try to find ways to push back my solitude day, or I'll try to cheat it by not doing as much as I normally would have. But the first thing I have to do is turn off my brain and think about the next, you know, week, another day. And then it's time for me to put my phone somewhere else. Social media detox is important. If you have to delete the apps off your phone because you don't trust yourself, do it. I am really good at detaching from socials. I don't even like them as much as I used to. I like them for work purposes because it's what I do for my job, and I really have learned to detach. But if I find that I'm doom scrolling and it's not doing anything for my day, I will put my phone in another room. I have gotten so good at that, and I love it. I actually love not even thinking about my device. when I do a social media detox, it allows me to watch the movies and TV shows that I've been putting off. I think it's really difficult for someone who is super in tune with their phone and super obsessed with social media to even be able to watch a movie in entirety, especially if you have ADHD. I always have my mind racing and thinking about other things, that sitting and watching a movie from start to finish is actually a task. So on my solitude days, I will make sure I pull out my list of the movies that I wanted to watch that season, and I will watch at least one of them. Even if it means I have to pause it, eat lunch, or do something else and then replay it later, I will, but I need to at least finish it by the end of the day. I also think it's important to notify your friends and family that you're going to be detaching, so for them to limit their phone calls and text messages for that day, or just let them know you're putting your phone on D&D and you'll answer them tomorrow. It's important that you create these boundaries with the people in your life, because yes, we can blame ourselves for how we've gotten here, but at the end of the day, it's other people in our life who do add to the additional stress and our dysregulation. So definitely make this a part of your solitude day by creating a boundary and speaking up and saying things that allow them to understand that you are taking some time for yourself, and make sure you let them know nothing is wrong. I'm not angry with you, because you know, the other anxious people start to have panic attacks like, oh my God, why are you taking a step back? But you have to teach people that taking a step back is not a personal thing to them, and that it's more so personal for you, for your growth, and for your self-love. Now, if you are someone who has this disrupted sleep quite a bit, I think it's important to take a nap or rest your body. This is something that I struggle with. I'm someone who wakes up really early, and I also go to bed really late. But now that the sun has been setting a lot earlier, I find that I've been going to bed quite early these days. I've been going to bed at like 10 or 11, which is pretty early for me considering I was going to bed at like 1, 2, 3 in the summer. So rest your body, take a nap, even if it's on the couch, even if it's falling asleep watching your movie, you need to regulate yourself by resting. I also love the idea of taking an outdoor walk, getting around some natural light. When I am having a solitude day, I usually keep my house pitch black with some candles burning, or I will dim my lights all the way. Artificial lighting can really mess you up. I know for me that being in an office setting, or even like when I was in school growing up, I found that the lighting was so harsh and it was so problematic. It would give me like a headache. I would feel so sickly and unmotivated. So when I'm having a day like this, I need to have the warmest light bulbs on. I need them to be dimmed. I need candles burning. I love the idea of an aroma going through the house that definitely calms my nervous system. It just creates a very calming feeling. So right now I've been burning a candle that I actually received from a friend. This was last Christmas. He gave this to me, and it's like a pine smelling candle that's a Christmas edition from, oh my God, what's the name of the candle company? Glasshouse, I believe. It's so good. It's like a pine Christmas tree type of scent, and I've been burning it the past 2 days, and it has been so wonderful. I feel like I'm walking through like a Christmas village right now. But yeah, get outside, get some sunlight. I'm not gonna lie, the sun this time of year in New Jersey gives me agita. It feels so close to me, and maybe this is a sign from God that I need to tint my windows a little bit darker, because my windows of my car are the tint that it came with, and it's definitely tinted, but it's not overly tinted, and I find that the sun in the winter time is blinding, like extremely blinding, and it hurts, and it's too sweaty. Like, I get very hot in my car with this sun. Like, it's just, it feels like it's so close to my face. So I'm very mindful of when I am outside, I walk. I'm not, you know, going for an errands run and calling that getting out. No, I am going outside walking during either sunset or midday when the sun isn't killing me. So that's kind of what I've been doing, and it's been such a wonderful thing. There's something so beautiful about the chilly weather, about the breeze, the fresh air. It is so healthy, and it's so conducive for your growth and for your peace and comfort. I also think that solitude days are a great way to reflect. Now, of course, if you're someone who is a worrier and an overthinker, I would much rather you spend this day trying not to think. But as someone who avoids heaviness majority of my time because I'm always working or spending time with my friends or trying to find ways to help others, I tend to venture away from my own deep feelings and my own ideas and worries, that I actually like to use my solitude day to let out a good cry and to feel my emotions. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'll like sit on the couch and like try to force myself to cry. Like, it reminds me of that scene from The Holiday when Cameron Diaz was like trying to cry and she just couldn't get herself to like shed a tear. We're definitely not doing that, but I will journal. I will listen to my favorite people on YouTube, like Bishop R.C. Blakes, who says a lot of important things about God and life, and it will definitely spark an emotion in me, or watching a tearjerker movie or TV show. This Is Us is probably my favorite show to watch for crying. But just feeling out my emotions, sometimes even just journaling, getting your feelings out on paper, and discussing with yourself in this journal prompt all the things you've been going through and how you can just feel it, embrace it, and then move past it. So I find that these are the days where I have a lot more heaviness in my heart and I reflect in a way that is beneficial to my growth, because I believe that holding things in is never the way to go. It's never something that should be done long term, because I do believe that you end up crashing out and breaking down the line. So I find that I rehash a couple things in my mind. I let it go. I like to usually do this when I know I have a life coaching session the next day, so we can discuss it again in that session, and then releasing it in that particular time with my life coach actually makes it easier to move on from it. So that's usually how I like to time it. Going into a sauna, working out, even if it's just like a light workout, is a great way to regulate your nervous system. When I take too much time away from fitness, it definitely messes me up. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I was always the girl who found that I would become depressed if I didn't work out, because that definitely wasn't me. But it was a combination of fitness, rest, recovery, food. These were things that needed to all be in alignment for me to feel good. If my food was bad, but I worked out all week, I still don't feel regulated. If I ate really good, but I didn't work out, I still don't feel 100%. If I do both, I definitely feel a lot better. And then rest and recovery needs to be implemented in that. And it's like the perfect recipe for me to just feel incredible. So definitely balance out all of those things to regulate how you're feeling. And I actually read that warmth is one of the most soothing ways to ease your nervous system. Now, as someone who's always freezing cold, this is easy for me. I love the idea of a hot shower, of drinking hot tea, even just burning candles as a way to create warmth in your life, the warm sun on your face, having socially warm environments. So being around people who are calming your nervous system, who are pouring into your cup, you're pouring into theirs. Now, we are discussing a solitude day, so I tend to find that detaching from people is the way that I like to go about it. But if you're someone who spends a lot of time alone and you're not with people, maybe for you, your nervous system being calmed would be being around people who feel like sunlight, who feel like happiness, who feel like peace. So find your tribe and get closer to that on days where you need a little bit of girl time, or just having that embracing circle that feels like a nice hug. Now, I cannot talk about calming your nervous system without talking about meditation. My life coach begs me to meditate all the time, and sometimes I forget, but in days like this where I'm having a solitude day, oh, I am going to do a meditation. So finding good meditations on YouTube, that really helps, and it definitely allows you to calm yourself and to rest your brain and mind and to just embrace how you're feeling and how to really just be more in touch with your body. I really find that when I'm overstimulated, I have gotten better at encouraging myself to slow down and encouraging myself to take a step back, even if it means letting some people down or being late with something or not being able to do certain things. my mental health is going to always be my top priority. And the more that I implement these steps and encourage this type of behavior and habit into my life, the less I'm going to feel guilty for nurturing myself. And we should never feel guilty for those things. I know that it is a weight on your shoulders to be a giver and to be someone who's always okay for everyone, but you can't be okay for everyone without being okay for yourself. So this is a great way to step back, to reset yourself, to refocus, and figure out how you can manage your week in a healthier way. I find that everyone chooses to do different things to regulate themselves, whether it's taking a step back from socials, going on a trip, going to a spa, getting a massage, whatever it is that you can afford, whatever it is that you can allocate time for, I would encourage you to do ASAP and practice and implement these steps going into the fall and winter months. We are approaching colder weather where everyone is a little bit more dysregulated, in my opinion. The seasonal depression creeps in, and I don't want to mentally prepare for that because I find that preparing negatively for the future only causes me to be more anxious. So I find that just accepting that it could happen and understanding what I do with that particular thing happening is all I can really do to live more positively and happily. So that is what I do. I don't necessarily tell myself, oh, you're getting depression in 2 months. What I say is, if you do, here is the steps to handling it the best way for you. And I hope that that can just help guide me in a way where I can recenter and refocus a lot easier. Because I found when I would ignore these things and I would continuously overstimulate myself and continuously put too much on my plate and overextend and do too much, that it would make the recovery process that much harder. Keep that in mind, guys. And hopefully you guys can all just regulate your nervous system in a way that best suits your lifestyle needs. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. It feels like a nice, beautiful thing leading into Thanksgiving, and just, I don't know, there's something really beautiful about talking about your emotions and your mindset and the shifts you're making per season during different times of year. And I love this time of year. It is like the most beautiful season. It has its perks and it also has its cons, but I find the beauty in it all. And I know you guys can too. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, everyone.